Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 504. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot there, Kevin. How about yourself?
I am getting ready to watch some Game 7 hockey action between the Las Vegas Golden Knights and San Jose Sharks as we record this, so I guess in between, I will probably watch a little bit of wrestling, whatever happens to be on the DVR, which there is still plenty of. In the meantime, what is not on the DVR anymore is the WWE. Most recently removed from the DVR, SmackDown Live. You know, I was not going to be surprised if the WWE stretched out Kevin Owens being the Big O a little bit longer than tonight. So, I knew that it was coming at some point, but I guess I was at least a little bit surprised it happened tonight with them basically having a full month until Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they could have drawn it out longer, but they seem to be getting the mood this week of wanting to have the bulk of the Money in the Bank card announced, at least the top half of the Money in the Bank, not even including the Money in the Bank matches. So they went with it this week. I guess everyone knew it was coming. Maybe because it was so fast that it still wasn't drawn out so long that you knew it was coming right then and there. when Kofi pushed the Big O out of the way, the light really dawned in my head right there. And there was so much time left. I'm like, yeah, this is happening right now.
I wasn't really paying attention to the time, or else maybe I would have caught that. But I guess it's a good thing. Kevin Owens, though he had some somewhat funny segments, you know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if... if the WWE did that on purpose, like he came back and gets put in an awkward spot, and then he really didn't have anything for WrestleMania.
He had nothing. He was not on the show at all.
Was he not even in the Battle Royal?
He wasn't in the Battle Royal. Nope. He was not on WrestleMania at all. And I'm sure that angry promo is coming next week about being left off of WrestleMania and having to watch Kofi win the title and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But you know what? You did sort of bring up a point, although didn't really go into it. They really did do, like, all of the bits you could do with KO, with the Big O joining the New Day last week. The pancakes. They did the entrance 2 weeks in a row. There wasn't much more different places you could have gone with it,
right?
So yeah, as I said, they seem to definitely want to get these top matches for Money in the Bank, you know, out in the universe. So they ran with the turn of night. You know, obviously Kofi Kingston was in bad need of a top challenger. The situation with Daniel Bryan, I definitely concerning.
To
say the least.
I have been terrible in gathering information.
There is no information.
Okay. He just hasn't been on TV, and that's all that there is to it, huh?
I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but there is no information leaking out about his condition at all. So that is concerning. But, you know, things must move on, and you know, Kofi definitely needed a new heel challenger. Once again, I'm sure later we'll get into the dire situation with heels on Raw. But SmackDown on the men's side of things, really not all that much better at the moment. So turning KO, KO, you know, and turning him quickly, you know, was certainly the best move that they could make.
Well, I guess what I was going to do in talking about it at least a little bit is kind of talk about, and it's hard not to in a lot of ways, talk about Sami Zayn. Just because, honestly, I think Owen's floundering kind of helped this be more, if you can term it this way, more of a palatable turn. You know, they kind of seem to spend, like, the last part of his time out to position him as a babyface. And, man, it just didn't go terribly well. Not that they really tried very hard, and, again, they put him in an awkward position to start with. But I just, you know, this is definitely one of those ones where it was best for everyone involved, including the heel roster on SmackDown Live. Because, I mean, obviously Lars Sullivan is going to be a factor, but they're not going to put him in the title hunt this early.
No, they're not. And they also are keeping him away from Roman Reigns as well. So they definitely want to. Well, I'm sure that's an end game for the SmackDown side of things.
Oh,
to get to a Roman Reigns Lars Sullivan feud, but
right,
they obviously seem to want Lars Sullivan to run through the entire lower to mid card first, which not the worst idea. I mean, he's a project to roll out slowly, so I totally understand that. So
yeah, but I guess that goes back to that. That's why you kind of need Kevin Owens up in the, because Kevin Owens is in that stratosphere. You know, there aren't a whole lot of guys who can go above Kevin Owens for heel status. So yeah, and I definitely don't think you really want Kofi one and done, but I'm still going to be a little surprised if, you know, I just feel like Kofi's still going to be on the shorter reign leash than
I don't think it's gonna be very long. It might be longer than Money in the Bank, but once again, you got to believe that as the year progresses, the long range plan is to get the title on a heel, and for that heel to drop the title to Roman Reigns. I think that
right.
That's a pretty obvious direction. Just, you know, what heel is it? So, and it very well could be Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Depending on what the Daniel Bryan situation is, if they want to get the title, who knows about that? I don't think they can speculate on that. But right now, they're going with Owens. I would like to see Kofi get at least one successful defense in.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that every champ kind of deserves one, unless you're like a true transitional champion. I feel like you should at least get one title defense. To, you know, just to give it some legitimacy, and not just turn it over in your first match. So yeah, I hope that he beats Owens, I'm still not seeing a long reign for him. What else? Well, I guess involving another title, since the WWE really seems to love switching the mid-card titles on the shakeups every single year. We got Finn Balor on SmackDown now. And I feel like maybe this is a little bit of an epidemic that the WWE has done. in some ways this week. I don't understand. They finagle Andrade to come back to SmackDown Live because, quote unquote, Finn Balor is hiding from him. And then have him lose.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I was pretty gobsmacked by it. I'm like, if he was gonna lose the match, why didn't they just put the title on the line? if him going for the title isn't in your plans, or maybe it still is, and then you know this whole him having to lose a non-title match to get there is really dumb. So I didn't like it at all, and it's they definitely, you know, between Raw and SmackDown, they definitely jobbed a number of new arrivals or arrivals who are already there but are settling into their permanent homes this week. I didn't get it at all. I especially with Andrade, you know, he's already lost so much on SmackDown.
Right. Yeah,
it looked like they were refocusing on him. It looked like they were rebuilding him back up, and then he comes back, faces the same guy he beat on his first night on Raw, and loses in a non-title match. So really, he should not have that should cancel out his claim for an Intercontinental title match down the line.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't get how he recovers from that. Like, I don't think they're gonna break him up with Zelina Vega.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too. That would be a horrible mistake because they're great together. I think she really adds a lot to him. I think. Especially from a language barrier issue, he definitely needs her, and her on her own, she's not a great wrestler, and she's also, you know, doesn't really exactly have the size going for her either. And it isn't Alexa Bliss, but that's kind of a different situation. So no, I would not want them to be broken up. I would not want her wrestling full time. I would not want him without a manager. I was kind of getting that feeling, and I hope I'm wrong about it.
Well, that was the only thing that I thought of with that, with the way that loss happened with her, because that was the other thing that was just bizarre. Like, it was one of those times where it's just like there was no need for interference or that type of interference at that time. You know, like the referee wasn't knocked out or anything. Like, what were you exactly planning on doing? But I know that that aspect of things probably is never going to be brought up. So I'm going to shut my not wrestling brain off, I suppose, for a moment. But I mean, there was no reason for Vega to be there, up on the top rope, pretty much in plain view of the ref, who only didn't see it because for some reason he was looking down at his shoes at the time. But I guess that's what I hadn't thought about it until the show, but that was just another. I guess I expected Vega to interfere again and, you know, get him a title shot.
That is exactly what I thought was going to happen. I thought he was going to beat Finn Balor again to really ensure him a Intercontinental title match at Money in the Bank. So I don't know where they go from here. And we talked about the worst case scenario for Andrade with the potential of Zelina split. So I didn't like this at all. Big mistake on their part, and they're among a number of big mistakes they made this week.
Yeah, well, let's go on. I know that it moves us away from SmackDown a little bit, but I think just because we're on the subject, we may as well kind of move to them. It was really weird to see both Ricochet and I'm trying to think of who the as Cedric Alexander lose.
Yeah, that I didn't like. Well, I'm Cedric. It didn't bother me too much because I don't think that they're gonna have big plans for him on Raw, which is unfortunate.
Right.
But he still shouldn't have been, you know, put in a situation to lose like that in his first match on Raw. And then the Ricochet deal. I'm glad after nearly 2 years on the main roster, they finally figured out that Robert Roode is better as a heel. I wish they would have realized that from day one, because it felt like someone who's been dead in the water for a while beat someone with a lot of potential clean in the middle who hasn't been pinned yet. So it was just, I didn't like that at all. I would hope that they know what they have in Ricochet and what he can do, and I think they. How popular he could be if given the rocket strap, as Edge and Christian would say.
Or any type of strap, honestly. And I guess what made that one so, at least in his case, it was so weird is how much, and I mean, I kept on talking about it and talking about it. Him in black just kept on winning. You know, it's amazing, you know, that winning makes you look good. And it's just like, okay. And I mean, I guess he can have a little bit of a program with Roode. But again, it's another one of those ones where you kind of expect something to go wrong or something to go in Roode's favor to get him the win. You know, some type of cheat, you know, a referee misdirection so you can commit a foul act. But there was nothing like that. Like you said, like, it was a clean win. It's just like, huh? Like, and I would be okay if him and Roode feuded. I'd have no problem with it. But that's a weird way to start off a feud, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was definitely a very weird way. Weird way to start off a feud. If
that's what they're doing, I guess.
That's what they're going to do here. Once again, it just felt like they needed to humble everyone who was moving shows this week or who moved shows the week before. I was not a fan of a lot of it. I like the triple threat match with especially with Styles, Joe, and Rey Mysterio, but beating Samoa Joe like that, I didn't like that.
I kind of forgot. I didn't. I guess I wasn't as upset about that one, but you know, he did get kind of crushed.
He literally got crushed. Yes.
I guess that's maybe why I didn't think about it. They did a lot of stuff to Samoa Joe to cause that pin, so it's just
I can see that, but you know, he's the United States champion. He's on his first night in.
Yeah,
they'd already started something with him and Braun Strowman, and then didn't do anything to continue with that. Then the other triple threat match, they had poor Miz take the loss, and it looks like Miz has had a Shane McMahon feud taken from him because Shane has now shifted his focus to Roman Reigns on SmackDown.
I guess it. I hadn't thought about that for some reason or another. But that is weird to have that high profile of a loss, and especially in the manner that they certainly played up the Shane McMahon just got lucky card to that victory. So to have the Miz have to move on from that is more awkward than I had given it thought until right now.
It was yes, very very weird. I mean, maybe it's not going to be completely dropped, but if it is, that is really going to hurt Miz going forward as a babyface. The babyface who couldn't defend his own father, is not a position, you know, any babyface should be in.
Oh man, but and I guess at least with that one, that I guess that's another one where I kind of saw an out for the Miz in that he was basically fighting off two people the whole time. You know, because the heels really took time, just their time beating on him.
Yeah, they did. So, yeah, once again, we'll see where everything goes. But yeah, unless Miz can get that win back from Shane McMahon, I don't like his chances as a babyface on Raw.
Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting. Because I felt like he was more of a babyface, or, you know, he was starting to pick up steam as a babyface, maybe is the way I should put it, at the end of the feud there with Shane McMahon. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward with him. You know, he's got to kind of play to a little bit different of an audience. And it'll be interesting to kind of see where they go from. You know, he doesn't have his dad as a crutch anymore, and that's definitely going to change things.
Right.
Well, I guess the one guy that did get moved that's kind of part of the Ricochet package there was something we can bounce back to SmackDown about. Aleister Black, thankfully he was not jobbed out, but it was kind of interesting that he's the first guy to get a little character of all of these call-ups.
If
I mean,
that's what you want to call that. that was very much out of the old Bray Wyatt Mad Lib promo book. What the hell was he even talking about?
I thought he had a point, and then he lost a point. You know, when he started, yeah, like I felt like the first half I enjoyed, and then I'm like, where the hell are you? Like, I thought you were going somewhere with this, but it doesn't seem like you're going anywhere with this.
Right? Just no, like, it was just a lot of big words strewn together, which. As I said, it's out of the Bray Wyatt Mad Lib promo handbook. Even in NXT, they never nailed down exactly what he was.
Oh,
why is he lifted from above in a makeshift
coffin?
What are the candles for? What exactly is he? Yeah, and I hope that they can figure out some answers to that on SmackDown, but I was not given a lot of hope by that first promo.
No, they that needed some work, but it is kind of interesting. I don't always think about it. But there isn't always the largest amount of character work in NXT.
No, there really isn't.
Just in general.
Yeah, it's actually probably, you could argue, that it's gotten worse in the years since Dusty Rhodes has been gone. They definitely rely a lot on the great match and the great ring work and telling some pretty simple storylines, although sometimes those storylines can get a little too complicated at times too. But yeah, they never seem to finish, putting together a character. And yeah, Aleister Black is definitely someone who I've commented on before that I don't quite get what he's supposed to be. And once again, and WWE writers have shown, a lot of times, and I keep, bringing up Bray Wyatt, that just like they love thinking that they're doing something really artsy and using and having this heel who uses all these big words and, but it all amounts to him saying absolutely nothing. And I hope that they don't send Aleister Black down that path. I think that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, and I guess that was the other thing. Like, the way that they kind of ended that promo, I'm like, oh, are they making him a heel now? Which I guess is kind of an interesting choice, too. Like, it would be something that needs monitored. I'm not sure that you could exactly tell with just that promo.
No.
but to me, it kind of had that vibe to it. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. But I guess at least he didn't lose and they trusted him with a mic. Although I guess they trusted Andrade with a mic and then dropped him with a big L. So
right.
I'm trying to think of some of the other stuff that happened. Oh, well, I guess we can talk about Becky Two Belts is certainly worth talking about since she hurdles both shows these days. It's kind of interesting, I guess, that they are really going for a couple of big names here for Becky to beat at in some ways, at Money in the Bank, with Lacey Evans and now Charlotte Flair being still in the title picture.
I was so disappointed with that. I've seen the whole Becky has to defend the title twice on each title. And wrestle twice on pay-per-view thing coming. It's a good hook. It's a good way to do this. But man, am I not excited to see her and Charlotte again? It just screams of just not wanting to move. It does scream of not wanting to move on and not wanting to change things on SmackDown. They move. Bayley's already a loser on SmackDown. Ember Moon's nowhere to be seen. Although she was at least mentioned. And, Charlotte gets another title shot.
It was one of those things that when Becky said that, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I just started thinking about Charlotte being like John Cena, who, like, never ever seemed to be out of the title picture there for a long stretch. And Charlotte Flair is really kind of getting into that territory at this point.
It really is, and it's not good for her long term. I think that they should have not had them anywhere near each other. Charlotte could have ended up just been in the Money in the Bank match. Maybe she could have won it, and we could at least she's there. She's if she was holding the Money in the Bank briefcase, she could go after Becky at any opportunity. So she's kind of in shadows, but they're still being kept open. Kept away from each other, and maybe you go back to it, later in the year.
Right.
But just go right back to it again. Actually, and not right back to it. Never finishing. They have not spent a month apart, really. Since August. It's rough. And once again, the SmackDown Women's Division has just below them has just. It's just had a tremendous disservice done to them in the last couple of months. Like, there's just...
It's one of the reasons that Naomi wasn't doing anything. It was part of the reason why Asuka was only a lame duck champion. Yeah, they just don't have any time but for those two. And it's just like, I really thought, I'm like, after Becky gave that speech, I'm like, oh my God. And I really liked Bayley's promo too.
Yeah, I thought she showed so much fire. I really liked that promo. I liked the match too. It was a good match. But you know, once again, Bayley's a loser. I mean, you know,
That's what it comes down to.
Right, everyone thinks about what where things are going with Sasha Banks. You know, Bayley is, you know, toughing it out and sticking through it and going through with the move to SmackDown, and this is what she gets for it, you know, just to lose a week later, and you know, the same old that happened on, they keep going on the SmackDown women's scene. Then of course, you know, there's nothing wrong with anything they've done on Raw with Becky and Lacey Evans, but it does feel like Becky is cooling off after WrestleMania. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I don't know if she did seem to have more of that attitude back on SmackDown tonight. But wow. You know, obviously since WrestleMania, I think she's definitely been too smiley, too happy. You know, she's lost the edge that got her to the dance to a certain degree.
It's one of those things that just in general as a babyface, it's kind of like getting to the fight and winning the fight is, that's the, you know, that's the top of it pretty much. You know, defending it as that baby face is just really tough.
It seemed to become that way, and that's not the way, you know, WWE was booked for seemingly decades. It was always about the baby face champion who turns back the challenger, you know, on a seemingly a monthly basis, but. No, it's
been a long time that they haven't been doing that in the last, throughout this,
the 21st century here and into the money is in the chase philosophy, and you know, she won, and for once again, it is, you know, her opponents are someone completely new, and then you know the feud that's been way overdone.
And I mean, the funny thing is, you know, it's always one of those things that's kind of weird to me. Like, you can have someone like you know, Ricochet or AJ Styles, who is mostly Corey Graves, talk down about not having any main roster experience. But when someone, Lacey Evans, comes along, like, that subject is taboo. And it's something that kind of needs to be brought up in a lot of ways. Like, you know, there's no, oh, she's in the big woman's league now. Not down there in NXT, which, I mean, they were even trotting out for, and we can talk about her maybe a little bit later, Kairi Sane. You know, and it's just kind of weird that Lacey Evans is almost being booked as a peer of Becky Lynch when she doesn't have any main roster experience.
They definitely see a lot in Lacey Evans, and they're going right to her as Becky's first opponent on Raw. I know at some point Becky's gonna lose, you know, one of these titles. I don't know if it'll be at Money in the Bank, and I don't know if it'll be the Raw Championship to Lacey Evans. But it does feel like a lot quick for Lacey Evans, and they're bypassing a lot of what they do with the other NXT call ups, questioning their experience, telling them saying that they're in the big time now. Yeah, that definitely seems like they're doing that with Lacey Evans.
So I guess it'll be interesting. Like, I'm kind of in a similar boat opinion wise about Becky as I am with Kofi. Like, it seems like having her win both matches at Money in the Bank is kind of, you want to chase a little bit longer than that, I guess, for her to drop both belts. And it'll certainly, if they have her beat Lacey earlier in the night and then take on Charlotte, there's definitely going to be some drama to whether she wins or not. So they do have that part, but man, if you have Bayley beat Charlotte, I think you get that same drama.
Yeah, you definitely get a lot of the same drama. You get a fresh matchup. Granted, it's a babyface match, so at least Becky gets two heels to work with. But you could have made that definitely made that work, or you put the Bayley match on first and have Becky win, so the heel Lacey Evans
could take an advantage
going into her match.
Yeah,
you could have done that way too. Yeah, I hope it, Becky at least beats Charlotte and puts that to bed once and for all.
I do think that kind of a win like that will help her out, as the champ, to finally put that one to bed. Because, I mean, it really didn't make any sense. It's like, you agreed to this match, dummy. Like, it makes Charlotte look pretty dumb that she didn't realize what the stipulations of the match were at WrestleMania.
Yeah, right. No, I agree completely. And really, Becky got that win and beat Charlotte and should have, walked away from her.
Oh, well,
At Evolution in October.
Yeah, I mean, that is the other problem, is that the last win in the feud was one of Becky Lynch over Charlotte. It's just like, you've got nothing right now. Yeah, like, you really Charlotte, are hogging the spotlight. Really,
Charlotte just got one win over Asuka. Her pay-per-view record since SummerSlam is still atrocious.
Oh, yeah. So there's that stuff. But I guess I did talk about her a little bit earlier. And I don't think it's anything that you and Jeremy talked about, because, oh my god, some of the stuff that you guys covered, I was like, oh, I was just shaking my head. But anyway, we can get to that after the WWE. Kairi Sane and Asuka, what are your thoughts on this newly formed women's team?
I like them as a team. I mean, the pairing with Paige is a little weird, but obviously they have Paige still under contract and want to keep her busy and give her something to do. So, in that respect, it's fine. They have all the makings of a good team. So I have no problem with it in that respect. They should definitely, win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships and hope possibly in short order. And I'm sure beating Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville along the way. So, yeah, no, I I guess that maybe that they'll go with a tag team title match for them at Money in the Bank, and I see no reason for them not to win. I see no reason to continue the Iconics tag team the title reign all that long.
Yeah, I mean,
they've won nothing since WrestleMania. And I hate it when they do that. I hate it when they lose singles matches and non-title matches, and then, when it matters, they get the win. It's just like, it still just feels...
And it was kind of strange to me that Peyton Royce is not usually the one that is taking the L's in the singles matches. So I kind of expected Kairi Sane to lose. Not that I was going to exactly enjoy that outcome. But it made some sense to keep the, you know, tag team feud going. Even if it's, and it should be in a lot of ways, I keep on suggesting cheating. And the WWE just... doesn't seem to want to go with it, except for that one random time with Zelina Vega. Like, I don't know why they're so adverse to doing that when it could be right there. You know, have Billy Kay pull a leg. It costs Kairi from doing the top rope elbow, and you know. We got ourselves a tag team feud here, kids. I don't understand when the easy answer is right in front of them, you know?
I actually disagree. I did not want to see Kairi Sane losing her second match on SmackDown.
I wasn't gonna like it.
I'm fine with the Iconics being beaten at. As long as they're not going to hold the titles forever and do one of these fluke reigns that they've done probably enough of over the years, I'm fine with them. I guess I'm fine with them not getting any credibility and just, you know, losing every week. As long as they lose the tag titles in short order.
Gotcha. They are, I think that's one of those things, too, that to me goes back a little bit to Becky Lynch. I know that Sasha and Bayley went to each brand, but rightfully, the Iconics made fun of them for not coming over to SmackDown, even though they had gone to NXT. And it's just kind of takes a little bit of shine off of Becky Lynch being on both shows to have them be on both shows. Has it been consecutive weeks that they've been on both shows?
Yeah, it's been consecutive weeks. Since there's nothing really going on for them on Raw, I would have kept them just on SmackDown. Yeah, at least through Money in the Bank. There really is no reason for them to be on Raw, since they have no opponents on Raw right now, and they're obviously being set up to face Asuka and Kairi Sane in short order. So yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah, that one's just. Again, the easy answer is kind of right there, and I don't understand sometimes. Is there anything else woman related that is worth bringing up before we move on to greener pastures?
No, I think we can move back on.
Okay. I guess. So, Viking Raiders, better or worse than the Viking experience?
Slightly better, I guess, but they still snuck in calling their finish the Viking experience, though. Oh, man, yeah, it's all silly. There was no reason to stop calling them the War Raiders. Just as, I mean, and giving them the new first names and only first names. Very, you know, and the Eric and Ivar names are probably worse than the name of the team. It's just, it's not any, it's nothing good, but I don't know. It's probably something we'll all get used to eventually. And people who don't, and the audience, part of the audience, the majority of the audience who doesn't watch NXT has no idea anyway.
So, yeah, I'm never truly going to get used to it. I will stop being completely pissed off about it at some juncture just because it can't last. But, man, it's pretty bad. Yeah, Viking Raiders, I guess, is slightly better. If War Raiders was okay for NXT, I would think that that's kind of cleared anything for the main roster. You know what I mean? Like, it's the WWE. They're a publicly traded company. Are people, you know, that oversee this kind of thing just forgetting that they have video properties on the network? yeah. At least they're getting to win. I mean,
yeah, even though
technically they didn't win.
Yeah, they're definitely getting wins. Looks like they're being set up for Hawkins and Ryder, and I don't think I have any. There's no reason for them to not just run through Hawkins and Ryder and take the tag titles quick. There's no reason to drag out this Hawkins and Ryder, you know, tag title reign. It's not really taking. Zack Ryder getting another, you know, miracle title win, you know, late in his career. There's no real meat to the story. They probably shouldn't even have even had them win the titles from the Revival, especially if they're going to do a Revival Usos feud without the titles in the mix. That's kind of silly to me. While the joke team is holding the tag titles, and it only makes sense for the joke team to be holding the tag titles so that they can just be destroyed in short order by the Viking Raiders,
who are still nominally baby faces? Question mark.
That was a big question. that was a really big question mark. They put them against the Lucha House Party, who are definitely baby faces, and destroyed them really without. I don't remember. Was there even a bell or
there was not an official bell.
Yeah, there was not an official match. So yeah, if they're gonna destroy the kid friendly Lucha House Party act. But before the match even begins, then yeah, it looks like they're being set up as seals.
Gotcha.
Which I guess is fine. And, you know, eventually they can get to them versus the Usos, which would be a really good, tag team title feud. So I guess we just gotta play this out for now.
And that's the one thing I keep on thinking about it with Zack Ryder, like. That guy has more high-profile wins at WrestleMania than a lot of people. And, you know, there's probably some famous Hall of Famer like Roddy Piper that has less wins at WrestleMania than Zack Ryder.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
That guy has two kind of huge wins at WrestleMania, and it's the strangest thing ever. Like, I like him a lot, but kind of going to your point, like, they barely have gotten any time on Raw. Like, they got to react to, oh, we're going to get our asses kicked by those two guys. Like, that's your first promo, your first title defense. It's so weird that they really like that B team experience for whatever reason. I don't get it. You know, I didn't think about how depressing some of this stuff is until you and Jeremy talked about it last week. So I'm just going to throw that out there. But I guess the Revival and the Usos should be a lot of fun. But like you said, it makes way more sense for the titles to be at stake in that feud than the debuting War Raiders taking on Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, who weirdly enough get to keep their full names.
Yeah.
They're white people. You can remember their names.
Yeah, of course.
I guess, or something like that. What? Oh. I've got to admit, well, no. I'm going to go with a different one here. Bray Wyatt. This is certainly something that needs to be talked about at least a little bit. Are you also sitting there going, really? This is what we came up with after, what was it, roughly 8 months doing nothing?
Well, it's better than nothing and better than what he was doing before. I'm definitely going to be willing to play this thing out. I think it can have potential. Now, once again, once he starts wrestling again, and it's just Bray Wyatt, maybe it loses something, but it was just wacky and weird enough to entertain me and make you want to see what else they can come up with here.
Yeah, it didn't do any of those things for me. It does look like Bray Wyatt may have trimmed down some, which will be kind of interesting because he is not the tallest gentleman on the roster. And his girth to me kind of helped him as a wrestler. It'll be interesting to see him in the ring once they put him back in there. But yeah, this bad version of Pee-wee's Playhouse was not for yours truly. But one House of Horrors that I thought we were destined for was Baron Corbin taking on Seth Rollins in his first feud. But that did not come to pass.
No, it did not. I was surprised. I guess you could say pleasantly surprised. I guess for the sake of Money in the Bank and for putting on an entertaining match, they made the right choice. But it definitely underscores the heel situation on Raw when the best case scenario was running with the babyface work rate match between Rollins and Styles, which once again should be a great match. But
right,
yeah,
agreed.
They definitely, they got to do something with this heel situation on Raw. They're going to run with Styles and Rollins for at least one pay per view. Maybe we'll get a heel turn out of AJ Styles out of it to keep it going after Money in the Bank, which might be the best option. But at some point, they're going to have to run with Corbin or Lashley or McIntyre as world title challengers.
Yeah.
And after months of teaming together, all of their stocks have dropped in the time that they've been linked together. It's like they're the anti-sheet.
Yeah, and it's so weird. Like, it's one of those things that with Drew McIntyre, I'm not quite sure what he's doing wrong to get shit on like this. Other than, like, I like his promos, I like his in-ring work. Did he poop in someone's bag backstage? I don't completely get it. To me, he's the best of the three.
Yeah,
and I don't get it. Like, I guess it was kind of interesting to have Corbin steal the win.
Yeah, I mean,
I get that night, aspect Corbin of things.
Corbin did his job as the dastardly heel that no one could possibly like. So in that end, and they did just enough to make you fear that he was going to win it all and get the match to Seth. So for one night, it worked in that respect, although if you look at the ratings, it definitely did not work. Having Baron Corbin wrestle twice in one show, not in...
yeah, I'm not sure that anyone it would have benefited necessarily, but it's one of those things where I just go, man, they are just not reading the room with this Baron Corbin thing. Like,
I mean, it felt like they blamed him for all of their problems months ago, but they're still featuring him a lot on TV. And this week, they put him in at least three long segments.
Yeah.
A 3-hour show. He was in close to a third of the show.
You're not wrong. It is so, like, even when I see potential in him, it's just like, you know, they pull the rug out from under him just enough. Like, again, like, even with this, like, if he goes on to face Seth Rollins, you've got to give him a little more credibility, I guess. Well, not I guess. He beat AJ Styles. Like, you've got to give him more credibility, even if it's by hook and crook again. Which I continually seem to be suggesting. Their own volatility with him, and with a number of people, just, it's doing them zero favors. Like, the people getting over the people that they run with, and I don't quite understand why they keep on derailing themselves just by their own writing.
No, it is bad writing. It's been bad writing for a while. I mean, they got through WrestleMania, you know, they gave people, their happy endings in the key matches. And we've also just got nowhere to go from here. And, you know, it's like this spring to summer period is going to give people, you know, a lot of ammunition to the, you know, wrestling needs an off season, you know, lobby, because it's just, they're just putting on shows just to put on shows at this point. There really is no direction right now. There's, you know, I brought it up, but, you know, I was kind of down. On a show with me and Jeremy, I was really the downer last week, just thinking about, you know, just they've just seemingly just got nothing to build to right now. You know, with so many stars gone, so many people injured, so many people, you know, not unhappy and asking for their releases. It just doesn't feel like they've just got anything really going on, and you know. So they're just gonna, you know, give people the, you know, the great match, but the great match that's not gonna, very likely not gonna have, you know, great promos or great angles building up to it. I'm sure that we'll get the ad nauseum of you know, Rollins and Styles teaming up, and, you know, even though they're going to face each other, and Ascension, and,
right.
It's going to be the most formula, you know, build imaginable, but it'll be, technically it'll be a great match. And then it's just, but then it's, once again, eventually at some point, you gotta, unless you turn AJ and get some steam behind him, you know, you gotta run with one of these other heels. Hopefully, Sami Zayn's new character will really take off and put him in the mix to, you know, be a heel challenger.
Yeah, and I guess to get back to that one, I kind of like what they're doing with him, but there are just too many people cheering for him right now. Like, it kind of goes back to that Kevin Owens thing that I was talking about. Like, everyone was kind of cheering for Owens when he came back. Like, you need this weird time period after coming back from an injury to turn heel. And at least a lot of people aren't buying it yet out of Sami Zayn, even though he's really doing his best to get boos.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything dastardly yet. He hasn't really picked a target yet. So, and hopefully he'll do that soon. They'll get him in feuds. So yeah, I mean, once again, it's a better option than certainly a better option than running with Baron Corbin at this point.
Oh man, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I guess this, not that I think that the superstar shakeup is the be-all, end-all, but it's kind of weird to see Raw get the short end of the stick. Like, I do think that maybe they got more names, per se, but...
I mean, I don't know if they do. I mean, I guess if you look at the Raw roster on WWE.com, Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey are still mentioned, are still there. Maybe John Cena's even still there, but none of these people are going to be around. And, you know, Ronda added a lot in her year in WWE. And with her gone, there's a lot missing. And maybe not just in the women's division. It perforates the entire company. And then, you know, throwing Brock being gone, and Cena checking out, and, you know, so many. Yeah. And then, of course, Raw being 3 hours and needing all this filler. Yeah, SmackDown's far from perfect right now as well, but, you know, Raw, it's really rough right now, and yeah, they definitely need to figure something out, because as I mentioned last week with Jeremy, you know, forget WrestleMania. I don't know what they've got to build with to for SummerSlam.
Good thing they have a couple of months here, and I guess I would welcome an AJ Styles heel turn. I think it'd be beneficial to him and the company, and I guess Gallows and Anderson are gone.
I guess they're going to be gone. That's a good question. They weren't moved, so I guess technically they're on SmackDown. Although at this point, that doesn't. They're going to do whatever they want.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
because that was the one thing I'm like, oh, like, they didn't mention, and I don't know if it's a good thing to end on, but I didn't feel like they made mention that they were going to make supplementary moves like they have in years past. The shakeup certainly seemed a little more rushed in a lot of ways this year, or less organized than it has in the past.
It's It's a mess. It was a mess last week. It's an even bigger mess this week. Who knows if they're if they're done making moves going into next week? Yeah, it's a I mean, they have no direction right now. It's pretty obvious. You know, they don't really know what they're doing from week to week, and they don't have SummerSlam mapped out in their heads. They probably maybe just figured out Money in the Bank that, you know, this week. Yeah, there's just, you know, they're directionless, and yeah, I'm not very bullish on, you know, the next few months of WWE TV. I'll just say that.
Well, get ready to record a podcast every week about it anyway.
Yeah.
Feel the energy. Come listen to the site. We're not excited about the product we're talking about. I guess that we can move on along after that. I got this back when I went to the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania. New Trail Brewing Pocket Knife Hazy IPA. It is quite tasty. It's I need to figure out the city. Oh, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, home of the Little League World Series. This is a pretty goddamn tasty beer. So if you happen to find yourself in central Pennsylvania, because I don't think their distribution area is very big, I suggest picking up one of these bad boys. Nice, juicy flavor. Good tropical notes in the IPA department. Something right up, square up my alley, if it's going to be an IPA. And it comes in a nice big 16-ounce can. So you can get pretty hammered on this thing just by drinking one of them. So that is my beer suggestion of the week. The Bell Time beer, if you might say it that way. So I'm at DeFrang11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.